Yeah, I'm dead serious, Andre.
What a great start to this podcast.
Oh, man. Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast. We're presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. The beer of the month here at the DNVR bar is the Broncos Country Pale Ale, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were drinking a lot of that last night during Broncos Chiefs.
Well, great way to drown your sorrows.
It was a great way to drown your sorrows. I'm Harrison Wynn. That is Andre Simone.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about today on the Denver Sports Podcast. Nikola Jokic might be entering this Denver Nuggets season with a mindset that I've never seen before from him in the regular season.
Yeah.
So we will talk about that. And then, if we have time, we will talk about how depressing, how bad, how awful the Denver Broncos are, and if there's any hope for them going forward.
Ever again, right? How was your Thursday night at the DMVR bar, being locked in as the consummate professional that you are to the Nuggets' second preseason game, while also keeping an eye on your Denver Broncos?
So let me set the scene for you.
Yeah, please.
Let me tell you what it was like here at the DNVR bar.
Yes, tell the people.
Pretty much all the TVs were on Broncos Chiefs, as you know, you can expect.
It's still Denver, guys. Yeah.
We got Thursday night football. We got the Broncos. It's Nuggets preseason. Mm-hmm. I watched the entire preseason game by myself in a corner right under where we're sitting right now. You know, there's that little alcove here at the DNVR bar. I just watched it by myself. I didn't want to sit at a crowded table with people watching the Broncos, people trying to watch the Nuggets. I sat by myself and digested a double overtime
incredible
loss
incredible
in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I see a lot of people, even people that I work with on the Nuggets beat, they kind of pass off the preseason as, you know, it's the preseason, man. Like, how much can we really take from this?
Mm-hmm.
I love the preseason, especially when it comes to this Nuggets team, just because there's so much uncertainty around the bench, around the second unit. We know what the deal is with the Nuggets starters. We know they're going to be great again.
That's right.
We're going to spend a lot of time talking about Nikola Jokic and his mindset today. I love where he's at mentally. But the bench, there's so much up for grabs that, like, I'm going into every preseason game wondering what I'm going to learn about the bench. And I feel like we did learn a lot about it last night, too. So I'm really enjoying the preseason. There's three more preseason games. I'm excited for them. I'm ready for them to get underway, because I feel like with everyone, we're learning a lot about this team.
Yeah, and that bench is important. It's been a very NBA or NFL-like approach almost by Calvin Booth, and how he's just loading up on draft picks, adding more young, controllable contracts. So there's a lot to observe. It's kind of crazy, man. I mean, not just the preseason, like, for a while, the NBA, you know, we're not really tuning in until Christmas. Guys like you, of course, that's different. But
yeah, I'm watching preseason games by myself in a corner of the DNVR bar.
That's right. I can't believe a superstar like yourself is just in a corner of the DNVR bar. This is crazy. What a cathartic experience that sounds like.
It was cathartic watching Jay Huff and Colin Gillespie try to close out the third string Chicago Bulls.
So great.
Do you have any takes on Julian Strother? Because he has been the story of the Nuggets preseason so far.
Yeah.
He's far exceeded the expectations that I've had for him as a rookie.
Yeah.
He is actually right now one of the only few guys that I trust coming off the bench for Denver.
Crazy.
He's looked the part. It looks like what he's doing is real. What do you think of Julian Strother?
I mean, looks like a very, very nice pick. Early returns are great. I mean, you know, in the draft, late first round, they select him. Maybe not the highest upside, but you really liked his high floor and the things that he does bring. And those things have delivered from day one. The shooting, the floater, and the fact that he's just a tall two guard.
Yeah.
It's like got good size for a wing. And I mean, I think Nikola Jokic building a team around Nikola Jokic permits you some really nice advantages. And one of that is guys who don't need the ball, like Hunter Tyson, who blew it up in summer league, like Julian Strother, who's blowing it up now, fit in so well in this kind of system.
Yeah. His size has jumped off the screen to me.
Yeah.
He's a legit 6'7".
Yep.
And he's just a pure shooter. Like, he is a pure shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, man. When Calvin Booth took over as GM, one of the first things he said in his very first press availability was that it doesn't take a genius to know that you have to surround Nikola Jokic with shooters and you have to stack this team with wings.
Yeah.
And Calvin Booth has been the GM for 1 year. And in that 1 year, I feel like the Nuggets have gone from not having enough wings to having a lot of wings.
Right.
They have Michael Porter Jr., obviously, who was here before him. But since Calvin Booth has taken over, they've added Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson. Those are four wings in the last two drafts. And then you can talk about KCP, who he added via trade. He got Bruce Brown last year. Right. He got Justin Holiday this year as well. Right. They've gone from not having enough wings under Tim Connelly to having more than enough, it feels like, under Calvin Booth. Calvin Booth is so smart, man.
Yeah.
He knows exactly how to build a team around Nikola Jokic, and we're seeing that. And Julian Strother is the latest one. It just seems like what he's doing in the preseason is real. The shots he's making, the shots he's generating, what he's adding to the bench unit.
They're shots within the flow.
Yeah. And he's not forcing anything.
His shot's so quick. His footwork is really quite flawless. And he gets those like shooter rolls, you know? Like, it just
He barely hits rim.
Well, yeah.
He's not hitting a whole lot of rim so far.
It drops into the hoop so soft, you know? Yeah. Like, he gets those weird, even when I was watching like the breakdowns pre-draft, he'll get those like little shooter's rolls because he's just so smooth. And then on top of that, he's got that dynamic floater. I can't even believe you haven't mentioned the floater really yet.
The floater. Oh my God.
You're the king of the Strother floater fan club.
I didn't know how it was going to translate just with NBA length and athleticism, but so far he's getting it off, and it's as pure as we hoped.
That he gets that thing off even faster than his three-point shots, which is saying something. So, I mean, yeah. Having a shooter like that come off the bench is really huge. And then we'll see defensively with that length how much he's able to make up for it. Because that might be the one question is his kind of foot speed, lateral mobility on defense, right?
That is a question. It was a question coming into the draft. What I've seen so far is that he just knows how to play basketball. He's a pro coming from Gonzaga in a pro-style system, playing around a lot of other pros and really good players. He just looks the part. I don't know if he's going to be a lockdown guy, but he knows how to use his length. He's got good fundamentals defensively.
Right, right.
I'm not really worried about him being a minus on that end.
Yeah.
I think where he will have some growing pains is just like the NBA rotations, you know, being the low man in pick and roll, that kind of stuff. Right. And that will take time. Any rookie has to go through that. But I'm not worried about his level of commitment or want on the defensive end. Like, his want to on the defensive end is going to be fine.
Right.
So,
I mean, that's huge. And all those wings you've talked about, not one of them has come to Denver and not had a career season. You know, like, this dates back to, like, Jeremy Grant. Like, you come to Denver, especially if you're one of those wing guys who are so key to playing around Nikola Jokic, you're going to come off of it having career years or having hit a new level to your game. Like, AG's taught us, Bruce Brown, MPJ, like, the list goes on.
Yeah. What have you thought of the rest of the Nuggets roster throughout the preseason so far?
It's just nice to have the guys back. They seem to be playing very well together, very seamlessly. There's a lot of like the positive signs you see in a repeat, like defending champ, all feel to be there. Like, there's kind of a a confidence and calmness of like, oh yeah, we know how it's done. We know how to play Nuggets ball.
Yeah.
And just winning the championship just makes you want to lean into that more, you know, just gives you more of a confidence.
Yeah.
The starting five still looks great. A bit surprised Justin Holiday's starting off in the starting lineup here, but I guess that makes sense as you figure out, you know, Piwa and Zeke and Hunter Tyson and how all those guys will fit in. I'm just kind of ready to see him roll and get going.
You know? We got three more preseason games before we can really see him roll for good.
Yeah, we're like a week away.
Yeah. I agree. The vibe around this team is a team that knows it's going to repeat. The vibe is just like, yeah, we're really good. Yeah, we have the same starting five back. We have the best player in the world.
Right.
We have three other guys who could be all-stars this season. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. We're ready to go. We're ready to roll. And I think we're seeing that trickle down. And it's honestly starting with Nikola Jokic and his mindset, which I'll get to in a little bit. Starting Justin Holiday, like you brought up, it's been interesting.
Yeah.
He was my MVP of training camp in terms of, I don't think anybody improved his stock more than Justin Holiday did at training camp. He went from a guy who I thought might be a bit of an afterthought, not really playing maybe in more of an Ish Smith, DeAndre Jordan role,
right,
to a guy who now I think he's going to be in the rotation on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a guy who fits in, doesn't stand out, does his job, and so far through training camp in the preseason is hitting threes.
Right.
He went 2-for last night.
Yep. That's huge.
I think he's going to stick in the rotation at least in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. At worst, it feels like he's kind of got that Jeff Green role carved out for himself.
Yeah.
Which was your,
and Michael Mullins even mentioned that he can be a Jeff Green replacement. So.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe more suited to that role than Jeff was, you know, because more of a pure wing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Though I wouldn't expect him to play any small ball 5 minutes like Jeff, I think, had.
Yeah, I would hope
he had
not.
That mini stretch in that Miami series, and Bam Adebayo went crazy.
Yeah.
It's like three possessions.
Yeah, that was
rough. I'll never forget. Yeah.
That was rough.
yeah, absolutely.
The only piece of bad vibes is the unfortunate news that Michael Malone's father passed away, and Michael Malone has not been with the team over these last couple of games. It's been the only, like I said, bit of negative vibes that the Nuggets have had. But you know, I expect them to be back on opening night, and we'll trudge on. But
yeah,
other than that, it's been great so far.
They feel great, and the NBA is just lining up so perfectly. I mean, I'd say this offseason was a dub for the Nuggets.
I'm gonna hit a quick break, and on the other side, is Nikola Jokic, Andre, entering this season with a different mindset than one we've ever seen from him at the beginning of a regular season. I feel like what he's done in these first two preseason games might lead us to believe that he is, but I will get to that.
Love it.
In one moment. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every single game day this October. Tons of stuff to bet on this weekend. See you Stanford tonight. I will be there. The Broncos already played. Unfortunately, we can't bet on them this weekend.
Yeah.
Not that you would want to.
No.
But tons of stuff coming up this weekend. The Avs are back in season. On the board. They're 1-0 already. So get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code DNVR only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Connecticut, help is available for problems with gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. Licensee partner, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after assurance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/sportsbook for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Also want to tell you guys about Game Time and the Game Time game of the week.
What you got?
It's tonight. CU Stanford in Boulder. I will be there, and I will be at the DNVR tailgate.
Incredible.
At the Pavilion at the Millennium Hotel in Boulder. I'll be making my first appearance at a DNVR tailgate this year.
Is that right?
Just want to alert the people.
Man, breaking news.
I will be there.
A little company person. History.
But if you're looking for tickets for tonight for any sporting event, make sure to hit up Game Time. They've got these great last minute price drops.
Yeah, these aren't bad at all for Buffs.
What are
cheapest
we
I can find is 147 for tonight.
Not bad.
They're, I mean, Game Time, day of, they're the best in last minute tickets. Man. They
are.
Don't mess around.
They are. So keep an eye on Game Time tonight in the lead up to the game if you're looking for last minute price drops. Concert shows, sporting events, whatever you want. Check out Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, but create an account. Redeem code DNVR for $20 off. Last minute tickets. Lowest prices guaranteed. All right. We're back here on the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breck Brew. Harrison Wynn and Andre Simone. Here's our top story, Andre.
Yeah, you've teased it. Give it to me.
Nikola Jokic might be entering this season as a high volume shooter and scorer.
What's going on, Harrison? What's going on here?
So Nikola Jokic, last preseason, year ago.
Yes.
He attempted 8 shots all preseason.
He played in all 4 games?
He just played in three games.
Okay.
But he attempted just 8 shots.
Not much. Very much Jokic preseason mode. Easy
the preseason opener against Oklahoma City, he shot the ball once. In Checks his out. Second preseason game, he shot the ball twice. In the preseason finale, he really got it going. He shot the ball 5 times against the Warriors in the Nuggets preseason finale last year. He was really getting them up.
Uh-huh.
That's what we thought at the time. Fast forward to this preseason. He's already shot the ball 21 times through 2 preseason games.
Yeah.
He shot it 11 times in the preseason opener in Phoenix. He shot it 10 times last night against Chicago.
This is like how a real NBA superstar would prepare in the preseason.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Yeah. What's going on, Harrison?
So, I have a question.
What's that?
Do you think it's because he wants to prove he's the best player in the world and he's just going to do what the media asks of him for once? Or
wow.
Do you think it's because, like, do you think he saw that ESPN ranking and he was like, I'm not number 2 and I'm going to show you I'm number 1?
It's an interesting theory. Has the media gotten to Nikola Jokic?
I don't think that's happened.
Has he been digesting the player rankings on ESPN? Did he see he's number 2 and really just wants to show us that he's actually number 1?
Has
the chatter gotten to Nikola Jokic?
I don't think that's what it is. No.
I don't know, Dre. You never know, man. When you think he's going to go right, he goes left. It could be time.
Fair enough.
I don't think that's it. I don't. But I do have a lot of theories.
Yeah, I want to hear all of these.
I want to hear your theory, though, first, because you told me you have a theory. Why do you think Nikola Jokic might all of a sudden be looking for his shot more than ever in the regular season and in the preseason as we've seen these last 2 games?
I think this is all a greater theme of going into this season. Nikola Jokic, the Denver Nuggets, remind me a lot of a BJ Armstrong quote in The Last Dance where he said Jordan, after they won that first title, stopped playing basketball and just managed the game to win it. And I think Jokic is entering this mode of he's just in hyper control. He's pulling all the right strings. He knows exactly what to do. And he feels like to get this offense going, we're probably going to need to lean on the starting 5 a little more. I'm going to get my game right. I'm going to be at peak Jokic ability 24/7. He's already the most consistent basketball player I can remember ever watching.
Yep.
I did, you know, grow up in Italy and wasn't watching like the NBA day to day during the Jordan years.
But, he's, you know, a little more consistent than Luigi Datome.
He is say. More consistent okay. than Datome. The okay. last 20 years of NBA I've been watching, I'd say he's easily the most consistent player I've ever seen night in, night out. I think he's kind of taking that to even another level.
Mm-hmm. It's a good theory. It's a good theory. Here are some of the other theories that I have and that I've seen on Twitter.
Yes.
Jokic said at training camp that he hasn't touched a basketball in a while. He just missed it.
You don't believe
that. Jokic's wrist, his right wrist, which has bothered him this over the last couple one. Of years, this his is wrist great. Is finally healed with a full summer off. Remember, he did not play you know, with the Serbian national team this summer like he did last summer. His wrist is finally healed, and this is what Jokic looks like with a fully healthy wrist.
Does his touch look better to you?
No. His percentages are actually down.
That checks out.
He's shooting like, I think, 50% or something close to that.
Now, some semblance of that theory does seem like the most logical one, where it's like Jokic post-bubble, this is the first offseason that's even slightly resembles a normal offseason. Though, of course, he was playing, you know, 2 months in the postseason after the regular season. But bubble, that was a quick turnaround. Then the next offseason, deep playoff run, MVP, and had to play in FIBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then did he have another summer of FIBA, or this was the next summer? Regardless, then he wins the championship and he finally had a normal offseason.
Let me amend that slightly. He shot 4 of 11 against the Suns. He missed a couple gimmies that he usually does. Last night against Chicago, he was 8 of 10. His shot looked great. My His God. Touch looked great.
80%, just wild. Again, any other NBA player, we'd be just losing our minds for 80% shooting. Yeah. Jokic, it's like, whatever, another day at the office.
Another theory is that because he didn't play Eurobasket, he's trying to knock off the rust. He's trying to knock off the rust from not playing, you know, real basketball during the summer. And he's just trying to shoot off the rust.
Checks out. Maybe game 1, 4 of 11. That was right.
Yeah. Another theory, he picked up something from all the coaching seminars he watched this summer.
Wow.
We know Jokic was in the lab. We asked him at training camp.
Yes.
He was in the lab this summer just studying in the film room, watching all these coaching seminars.
Right.
Maybe that revealed that there's actually room for him to shoot the ball more.
Could be. That's the juiciest of all these theories, I think.
Here's another theory. So far in the preseason, teams are making Nikola Jokic into a scorer.
I think we abandoned that theory a while ago.
I don't know if defensive game plans in the preseason are that complex.
I would save it for the regular season, no doubt.
A final theory, or one of the final theories, he's trying to play himself into shape by shooting the ball more.
Could be, I guess. Could be. Does shooting the ball more get you in shape faster, Harrison?
Maybe it does. Maybe he's thinking it does. I don't think Nikola Jokic is in peak shape right now, I'll say.
Yep.
But I think he will play himself into shape and be in shape when the Nuggets need him to in the playoffs.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Two final theories. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't played this preseason. That means a few more shots for Nikola Jokic. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
And a final theory, Jamal Murray has leveled up as a passer in the finals, in the playoffs. He's seeing the floor better than he ever was. Jamal Murray, in 2 preseason games so far, has 5 assists in each one in just 18 minutes per game. He's setting Nikola Jokic up better than he ever has.
That, as a correlated theory, is a fun one. I wonder, of Jokic's 22 shot attempts this preseason, how many of those are coming off Jamal Murray passes?
Yeah.
But that and MPJ. So here's the thing, Harrison. He's the smartest, I think, athlete probably I can think of. Everything he does is very calculated.
I would agree.
What's the 3D chess? I'm doing this to lead to that reason for Jokic taking more preseason shots?
I think he could be, and this kind of goes back to your original point. I think he just could be trying to set the tone for his team. He's trying to set the tone for the Nuggets. He's trying to set a tone of, hey, man, where we have our foot down on the gas pedal from day one. We're ready to go. We're about to repeat. Like, I have to show these guys, I have to show some of these young guys who maybe weren't around us last year, how we do things. We're not easing into the season. We're starting on opening night, ready to go, and we're ready to dominate.
I hadn't thought of that. There are more new guys than we maybe remember. And a lot of those new guys, young guys.
Yeah.
So you're right. Setting that tone, low-key, very important.
Here's another theory from Blair in the comments. He played against Nikola Vucevic last night, one of his good buddies in the league. We know they play video games online together a lot, mainly Counter-Strike.
Could it simply be the Balkan matchups that the first two games led to? Nurkic, then Vooch?
Andre, this is a good theory.
Harrison. Well, I all credit to Blair, of course.
Yeah. He played Nikola Vucevic last night, one of his Balkan brothers.
Yes.
He played Yusuf Nurkic in the opener.
Right. Had to put him in the blender.
Also from the
a
Balkans, I would not classify him as a brother.
No, no. A Bosnian acquaintance, former colleague.
Yeah, former colleague.
Former colleague, yeah.
Maybe not former, not still friends.
Right. Not lifelong friend necessarily, no.
But we know Jokic does enjoy those matchups. I wonder if those particular matchups had something to do with it.
I think he gets up for those a little more. Like, there's both a big man brethren and there's a Balkan brethren. And when you combine the two, I do think he gets up for that. He was also in Chicago, right?
Yes.
And we know Chicago, that's kind of, it's kind of the Serbian Mecca on the NBA calendar. That's where we... He gets to see more of his Serbian peeps, so maybe got up for that a little more.
I know. Chicago is, if you don't know, it has the second highest density of Serbian people outside of Belgrade, the capital of Serbia, in the world.
That is crazy.
Out of every city, I've heard it has the second highest population density of Serbian people outside of Belgrade.
Yeah, that's
and there
wild.
Were a lot of Serbian people at the game last night. You saw a lot of Serbian jerseys. Maybe he got up for it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I think maybe a few different factors at play here. I like it.
My next question, though, for you is this a good thing? Is it a good thing that Nikola Jokic might be looking to score more than he did last season? Is that a good thing for the Nuggets? Or do we prefer the Nikola Jokic that we saw last year, which is... Let me have the most efficient offensive season in NBA history. Let me average, you know, around 24, 25 points a game instead of the 27, 28 I averaged the 2 years prior without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Is this a good thing, in your opinion, that he's trying to score more?
I think that 24, 25 per game Jokic, that's regular season Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
27, 28, that's postseason Jokic. That's turning it up. And I think, you know, a lot of talk during the playoffs about, you know, a switch for this team. Can they just turn the switch, flip the switch, what have you? I think Jokic is getting ready to, instead of flipping the switch, just being always like a stone cold killer. And I'm trying to think of like, what would Jokic have to do on a basketball court for me to be like, oh no, that is bad? By now, he just has unconditional trust where anything Jokic does on the basketball court, I'm going to say, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Because Jokic decided to do it.
Yeah.
And he's a basketball genius.
Yeah.
So
I don't see how it could be a bad thing.
It can't be a bad thing.
I feel like whatever direction Nikola Jokic wants to take his game is the right direction.
Yes, exactly.
You just have the trust in him to do that.
Oh, he's quite literally our basketball lord and savior. Yeah. Like, let him take the wheel. Let him guide us.
And I think we know that he's not going to take this in a direction where he's suddenly shooting like Joel Embiid-esque efficiency from the field.
Yes.
He's not going to be taking this to a place where he's shooting under 50%.
Yeah.
He's still going to be efficient. So I struggle to see how this would turn into a bad thing.
Yeah, he's efficient. He plays in the flow. He's never going to become like James Harden, like just like holding on to the ball for 20 seconds of the possession. You
that
know?
Would be pretty funny.
Like, that would be hilarious. Like one game to see like the Jokic equivalent of Harden ball. Yeah. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then have like a camera crew follow him through the strip club on the road that he went to. Like just go full Harden experience.
Yeah. Calvin Booth is a liar.
That'd be great. Just as a shtick. Just as a shtick for one day. That would be exciting. Wow. Shots fired.
Yeah. I don't see how it could be a bad thing, but man, I'm really curious now. If it's going to translate to the regular season, how it could translate to the regular season, just what that would look like.
I know.
Because just watching Nikola Jokic in these two games, it feels like to me another MVP season is on the way. Another MVP season is loading.
Is he averaging a triple-double this year?
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
So close a year ago.
I wonder if last year was the year to do it.
Yeah.
And he almost did it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he just doesn't stat hunt that way.
I mean, no. How could he? He would upset the basketball gods.
No, he's right. He has the utmost respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hit another break, though. I want to talk some more Jokic on the other side, and then we might have some time to dive into what the Broncos did last
Let's
night.
Let's go.
And to really just turn the vibes way down. Guys, FOCO is the leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise. They have a product line that includes apparel, accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and much more. What's really cool about FOCO is they are officially licensed with all the major sports leagues. So this is legit stuff. It's not like, you know, some of the knockoff collectibles, bobbleheads that you might see around. FOCO is legit.
Yeah.
They have a lot of stuff that you see in our studio, on our sets.
It's true.
It's the best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. They've got tons and tons of different stuff. You can go to foco.com. FOCO always has our back for Colorado sports. They have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code DNVR for 10% off. You can go to FOCO's website. Use the code DNVR for 10% off all non-presale items. They got awesome bobbleheads, apparel. They
Christmas
have
ornaments?
The Christmas ornaments.
Replica NBA championships on there right now.
Good. Say less.
Yes. They
absolutely. Also have the overalls that are kind of going viral. I don't know if you've seen those.
Yeah, I have.
So go to FOCO, all non-presale items. Use promo code DNVR for 10% off.
Beautiful.
All right, back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, Harrison Wynn and Andre Simone, presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Who are your MVP favorites heading into this season? You're our betting guy here, or one of our betting guys here at the network, here at DNVR. I feel like anything other than a top three Nikola Jokic MVP finish would be a shocker to me. Especially with how he's approached the preseason, him shooting the ball a lot. His scoring numbers could be even higher this coming season.
Yeah.
The Nuggets are going to be really good. I think anything other than a top three finish would be just stunning for me. I feel like you could pencil him in there. Do you also feel like that's the case when it comes to Jokic?
I mean, it would mean something unforeseen and terrible happened.
Yeah.
Because if he just... one of the things is he is the most durable, you know, I mean, he's a straight up horse, you know, like
no pun intended.
A start is right. No pun, truly, you know, like that's the term for like a starting ace pitcher who can handle like, you know, 20 games of pitching 120 plus pitches. He's the definition of that. So the longevity has been a huge advantage for him over the rest of his peers. And then, yeah, he's just so efficient and the Nuggets so good that, yeah, statistically, he's just inevitably going to be in that conversation. So yeah, I mean, that should be a lock barring, right?
Like, yeah,
anything terrible. I think might be one of those years where the top three is nothing but Euros, in fact.
Oh, interesting. So you're throwing Luka Doncic in there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Giannis and the Bucks with the offseason they've had and bringing in Dame. I think a lot of people expect big things from Giannis, who also, I think,
who is the best player in the NBA.
So the internet tells me. Yeah.
He is locked in at number one.
Right, right. He is. So it's funny how those graphics, it'll always be someone other than Jokic. Any advanced stat graphic, Jokic is like off into space while his peers are down here. But yeah, I think Giannis is going to be very motivated, and the spacing Dame adds to that offense in the regular season could really open things up for him to have a big year. I always think Luka could have a huge year. I do think the Nick Nurse effect on Embiid and the Sixers is going to be very interesting.
Even just
right, I got that right. Yes, he's with the Sixers. I mean, the defensive clips I've seen coming out of there have been intriguing. I think the Celtics are going to be better in year two of Joe Mazzulla as well. So Tatum's always a decent candidate.
Yeah.
I don't have any hot takes for you on the MVP. And I don't, you know, the old guys, Dame, LeBron, Steph, even KD, I just think their time has passed.
Yeah. So it's interesting. With Giannis, does Dame Lillard cannibalize his numbers too much?
Could be.
I mean, you got to make room for 30 points a game coming in with Dame. So I wonder if Giannis's scoring drops off a tad.
Yeah, and it's not exactly like he's going to up his assists playing with Dame.
Yeah. With Jason Tatum, I just feel like there might be too many mouths to feed there in Boston.
Yeah.
And it's funny, if you look out west with Luka, I have a lot of worries that the Mavs might be a absolute disaster this season, and they just might not be good.
Going into the draft, it was shocking looking at the Western Conference and thinking maybe outside of Houston, everyone's trying to be good this season.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last year you could say that going into a season.
Yeah. And then elsewhere in the West, I'm going to have a media poll coming out on thednvr.com next week.
Yes. Hell
I did this right before the playoffs. I'm doing it again. I surveyed 15 media members, one from each team in the Western Conference. And one of the questions I asked them was, who's going to win MVP this season? Most of the votes are coming in for Nikola Jokic. He will have the most votes from these 15 media members, one from each team.
He is the safest.
Yeah. I haven't. All the votes are not in yet. I've gotten about half. Most of them have come in for Jokic. But do you know who the second most votes have come in for? Devin Booker.
Oh.
A lot of people out there, a lot of smart basketball minds, think that this could be the year of Devin Booker.
Plus 1,800 right now.
The Suns are going to be really good. Devin Booker, I think this is the year he vaults Kevin Durant in terms of just who's the better player. I think Devin Booker might already be a better player than Kevin Durant, but I think this is the season where that pecking order could be defined.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's enough scoring and just overall stats to go around there with Kevin Durant and with Bradley Beal and with Yusef Nurkic, who we know is going to want his shots. But hilarious. Devin Booker seems like to me to be a bit of a trendy pick early on. I don't know if I'm there with that, but that's just what the people are saying.
That's a really, really interesting candidate. He does have the longevity. I'm with you on, I think he's going to take over as the number one, like no-brainer number one guy on that Suns team. And also, you know, KD could be out for 20 games. That's kind of been par for the course. So, you know, him picking up the slack there. I'm not so convinced the Suns are going to be that great this year. I think they might be more of a 46, 47, 48 win team who's like a...
Oh, really? That's it? Wow. Not even 50.
A 3-6 seed more than a competing to be a top 2 seed in the West, just because I think that roster is a bit tough and the defensive stuff might not be great. And the West is loaded.
Yeah.
So that would be my one counter that can hurt him. Is there any like dark horse candidate who could come out of nowhere? An Ant? A Donovan Mitchell? Is it the year of AD, as they tell me in Lakerland?
Anthony Davis is not. He's not going to be in top 5 MVP.
No, definitely not.
I doubt he plays 65 games. So
yeah, right, right. Doesn't that's even a new threshold this year. Disqualified, sadly.
Yeah. Dark horse candidates for MVP. Anthony Edwards is the dark horse candidate. The Timberwolves could rise up the West a little. They're one of the sexy teams that everybody thinks could jump up the pecking order. Uh-huh. I think they could as well. Anthony Edwards would be the guy on that team.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, I just don't see, I don't know if I see Cleveland being good enough.
Yeah. East is pretty loaded.
Yeah, the East, you know, you got Boston, Milwaukee at the top. I think there's a big drop off after that.
I'm buying Zion being back. What would be the best future to buy in on Zion being back?
I'm not buying Zion, but I'm glad you are.
Yeah.
I mean, if he plays, he could put up numbers that are good enough to be in the conversation.
Has he been too good to warrant a most improved nominee?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
There you go. That might be my play there.
Alex in the comments brings up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's another dark horse.
SGA, yeah. I mean, OKC is going to be very interesting this
year.
Yeah,
I mean, my Thunder, I've already predicted that they could be a top 4 seed.
Yep.
If they are, he could get into the conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. But what first I think this comes back to, yeah, coming off first team All-NBA, fifth in MVP voting last year. What I think this comes back to is the fact that I actually think the MVP field is weaker this year than it's been in years past.
Yes, kind of feels like it.
And Nikola Jokic, again, I would be stunned if he's not top 3.
Yeah.
And a reason that I think he will be in there again is because of what we've seen this preseason. He has a mentality. He has a score-first mindset right now that I just think is going to lead to an absolutely massive, massive year from him. And I think it could result in another MVP.
Well, and I mean, he has that and averaging a triple-double in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone acts like, oh, well, there is another level to Jokic's game that could even be a tick higher than what we saw in the previous two MVP seasons.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Nugget season starts for real in 11 days, October 24th, ring night, home opener, banner raising against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Exciting events at DNVR as well.
Yeah, this bar is going to be crazy for it.
Yes.
I think we're going to have some cool promotions going on that night as well. You're going to want to be here for it.
You do. Yeah, or you're not at the game.
It's the second best place to be other than Ball Arena.
That's right. And then the second game, we're doing some more stuff too, and that's a road game, right? So
yes.
It's going to work out for everyone.
Yeah. Let's hit one final break. We'll finish up on the Denver Sports Podcast after this. Breckenridge Brewery, which you can get at the DNVR bar. We have tons and tons of Breck Brew on tap here. The beer of the month is the Broncos Country Pale Ale. You can get that for $6 here at the bar. But we have all the favorites. Avalanche Amber, Juice Drop IPA. Breck Brew also has Good Company Hard Seltzers, if that's your thing. Check out all the favorites from Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR. If you don't know where to get Breckenridge Brewery, check out the Breck Brew beer locator on their website. Just type in your zip code. It tells you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery. You can always get it here at the DNVR bar, corner of Colfax and York. We are back here on the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breck Brew, Harrison Wynn and Andre Simone, wrapping up here on a Friday. In a couple hours, I'm going to be headed up to Boulder for CU Stanford.
Incredible. Yeah.
Can't wait for that. But I was here at the bar last night watching Nuggets preseason by myself in a corner, of course. But I also had my eye on the Denver Broncos.
Fun times.
And the disaster that transpired last night against the Kansas City Chiefs. The scoreboard didn't look nearly as bad as it was.
Yep.
But Andre, the Broncos are bad. They're depressing.
They're terrible.
They're awful. There's no end in sight.
Do you ever remember feeling like this about a Broncos team?
No.
You were telling me, like, at the bar, it was noticeable, like, the pregame vibes.
Dude, the pregame vibes at the bar, people were saying out loud, I just hope it's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't blow us out too much.
Yeah.
And the funniest part is the Chiefs didn't, but it still felt
it was
as bad as you thought it might.
Yeah.
It felt like they weren't even trying. They were like trying trick plays.
Dude, this is my takeaway.
And it sucked.
Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes was not even trying last night.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was just throwing shit up. He was toying with the Broncos, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought he was trolling Sean Payton and the Broncos.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, watching Jokic kind of play with his food and
dude,
like
it was like watching Jokic against the Wizards.
Yes, the like fifth game of a road trip against the Wizards, and it's just kind of like
November.
Screwing around. Yes, exactly. That's
before he shifted into score first mode.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That was 1,000% the vibe.
When the Avs and the Nuggets beats keep playing, oh, we're in preseason. I'm like, the Broncos are too, dude. Like they lost preseason until they get Caleb Williams and then we're back on track.
Yeah, it's pretty awful right now, man.
The Broncos season is over.
Yes.
I have so many questions, Andre. Okay. And I'm a casual observer of the Broncos. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
First of all, is Sean Payton a fraud?
Too early to say, I think you
gotta... 'Cause everything that guy has said has been bullshit so far.
Yeah, so far it hasn't looked great for him. There's no denying that. He's really put himself in a tough spot. Not the greatest offseason with how much they spent. Comments on Hackett and even the hires he's made. You know, like Vance Joseph has looked absolutely terrible coming back to coach this defense. And there are some competent veterans, at least seemingly, on this roster. I don't think anyone could have imagined this. So I guess I get why that would be the question. I think it's too early to say.
Sean Payton, to me, is a guy, and I've seen a lot of coaches who think like this. They think they're the smartest guy in the room. They think they have all the answers, but really the game has passed them by. And I think that is the case with Sean Payton. That's just me, though.
Look, given the on-field results thus far this season, I wouldn't exclude any theories, but I do think it might be just a smidge too early to say. And that the last 8 years of Broncos football, I think, have really taught me there's stuff going on that's much deeper than just the quarterback, just the coach, just a couple players here and there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It seems to me like the culture is rotting.
Yep. Absolutely, man.
With the Broncos.
Yeah.
There's something really, really wrong deep
inside
the Broncos right now.
Yeah, and it's just generally a group that kind of just knows how to lose and not much else right now.
Here's my other question. How on earth did Broncos ownership let Sean Payton hire Vance Joseph? How did they let that happen?
Yeah. In retrospect, pretty poor oversight.
How do you let that guy back into the building? He was a disaster here as a head coach. He was way in over his head. Just the vibes from that couple years were so terrible. How do you let that re-enter the facility? And I mean, the answer obviously is that ownership gave Sean Payton full control over everything.
Yes, that's
they're letting him run that place like he is actually the owner of the team.
I mean, they were trying to bring back Vic Fangio. that's partially how obtuse they were. It also kind of part of the issue is how they hired Sean Payton and him not necessarily being their first choice, and that dragged on a smidge too much. And once Sean Payton was hired and he was then looking to hire coordinators and stuff, he didn't, you know, that first tier of options had kind of already gotten jobs. So he's kind of left to the next tier, and it was guys like Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
Tough, man.
My third observation on the Broncos slash question. These are my big observations on the Broncos. Sean Payton's a fraud. How did they let him hire Vance Joseph? It. Those are the first two. This great. Is the third one. The Broncos went all in money-wise these last couple years. They spent so much money. They spent like a Super Bowl contender.
They did.
Like, we saw the Rams, the Saints.
Yep.
Usually when that happens, after your window is over, like we've seen with those two teams, it's just a disaster. It's a cap disaster.
Uh-huh.
That's happening and will happen to the Broncos. The only difference is the Broncos didn't even make the playoffs while they went all in.
Insane. It's a wild miscalculation. I will, you know, it's reminiscent of like the Scottie Pippen, Olajuwon, Charles Barkley Rockets.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Or, you know, I was telling you, KG, Paul Pierce, Nets.
Yeah.
It's that kind of tragic miscalculation. Yeah, and I think it's kind of underreported how much things will have to get worse before they get better, because this team is going to be $30 million over the cap. They spent in free agency, one of the highest, I think actually the highest spending team in free agency last offseason. Sean Payton, Russell Wilson acquisitions have made it so that they haven't had a first or second round pick for, you know, two consecutive drafts now. Yeah, it's not at all where you want to be.
Yeah. So the result of that is they're going to try to trade everybody. They're going to try to trade Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton. They are going to trade these guys to recoup some of these draft picks. The only problem
is... recoup some cap. You're going to have to cut a bunch of guys in the offseason anyway, so you might as well get that job started now, given how poor the on-field product is.
Yeah. The only problem is... everybody in league knows they have to trade these guys, so the price is going to be lower, and everybody might know that they're not that good. So they're not going to give up a ton of draft capital for them. And the bigger point that I was getting at is if they don't get Caleb Williams, it's going to be depressing for the next few years.
Yeah, it's going to be really depressing. I think you'll still have a top five pick, and it will be a good draft and potentially some other good quarterbacks and other premium, you know, positions could be taken to really start building and kind of do a bit more of a slow build, which I think is, you know, was part of the issue with Elway running the thing, was always chasing that like one move that could get you back to playoff contention instead of maybe taking a step back and setting up a solid foundation to really get back to building a contender. It is Caleb Williams or bust right now, because if you don't have that top pick, I don't see how you would have the capital to move up and try to trade for him. And
no way.
He's such a transcendent talent. I really don't think anyone who would. So you really are all in on tanking, and you almost wonder how much Sean Payton does know that and how much these last few games, especially some of the decisions made, are influenced by that, because he's kind of the quick fix. If you don't get that quick fix, even just buying into a path forward is going to be a lot harder for the fan base, for the organization, and everyone else trying to do this.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think you fire George Payton. I think you have a new GM at the helm next offseason.
And they're going to let Sean Payton pick that guy as well. What if Sean Payton just elevates himself to GM?
I mean, the alternative is biting yet another financial bullet and, you know, firing him, all the buyouts that would take. You're probably moving on from Russ, all the dead cap that takes. Like, man, this new ownership is writing a lot of checks for employees they don't plan on employing.
That's my thing. As long as it doesn't mess with the salary cap, I don't care. It's not my money. We'll spend all of it. Salary cap as a fan is the only thing I care about, honestly.
Right. Right, like, but it just restricts what you can actually do.
I think the Waltons are fine for whatever they
did. Oh, no, for sure, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I really think firing Sean Payton would take...
Well, that's not a possibility. Yeah,
no,
that's
not. Totally.
We're stuck with him.
But that does mean being stuck with him then also picking the next GM.
Right. Right.
Inevitably.
Anyways, those are my three observations on the Broncos
Those are my
three takes.
You do have the culture is terrible here.
Yes.
We should mention that. Yeah.
The culture is terrible.
Definitely.
You can now find that shit on dnvrlocker.com.
The culture is terrible. Trust me, man. I know what it takes to totally reverse and remake a culture because the Nuggets did it.
That's exactly
right. It takes a long time and it takes committing to it. You have to commit to it.
And some growing pains.
And it also takes getting really, really lucky and selecting Nikola Jokic in the draft.
Yes. Or maybe being terrible in the year where a talent like Caleb Williams is really good, is available. It took a long time. It took some patience. It took some growing pains. Final question before we get out of here. You know this city as a sports town about as well as anyone. Has the pressure on the Broncos been too much in years past for them to grow organically? And are people so down on this team to where maybe we do have that patience now?
I think people will be much more willing to have that patience now because the Broncos have just taken a back seat to the Nuggets and the Avs.
I think you kind of have to at this point.
Like the Broncos in the pecking order of Denver sports teams are clearly below the Nuggets and the Avs. They're clearly below CU football right now.
Right.
They're such an afterthought that I think they actually can take some time and rebuild, and people would be way more okay with it now than they were in past years.
And I think that's huge because there has been different stretches in this town where it almost felt like there was too much pressure, too much attention on that heir apparent to Elway, on that heir apparent to Peyton Manning to really ever even have a chance to succeed. I've sometimes felt like that about some of these rookie head coaches they've hired.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, guys. That's all the time we got for today. We'll be back next week. Nuggets are heading towards their regular season opener. The Avs season has already started. They look like they're going to be right in the thick of it for the Stanley Cup. The Broncos play, I don't know, a team next week. Who do they even play?
Oh, gosh. There you go. The Packers. Good job. Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a great weekend.